Welcome to episode 18 of the All Drive No Drop podcast. I'm here with David from Tickle My Pickleball. How are you doing today, David? What's going on?
I'm good, but I would say I'm probably doing a little bit better than you right now. Fortunately, I am in the DC area, so
I didn't think we were going to talk about this. All right, just get it out of the way. The Detroit Lions might have had the biggest choke of the season. I am not happy with the results. I'm sad. I've been processing my grief all day. I will be okay, but all I can say is, how can you have a wide receiver throw the ball with the season on the line? It's honestly, bye, Ben Johnson. We don't need you anymore. I can't do it. I can't.
For the record, I don't watch football, so
I know you just wanted to. That you don't. If you don't. If you're not a football fan, you don't know how hard it hits. All right. Anyway, let's get serious. I'm just kidding. We can have some fun. We've got a lot of stuff going on. This is the busiest. I want to frame it in this way. This is the most important month, like not just like January or February, but like the important time frame of a month for paddle launches, I think, in the history of pickleball, at least in modern history of pickleball. I really doubt like 5 years ago there's like crazy paddle launches going on. But we have Carbon True Foams coming January 30th. We have the J2K Plus and J2TI Plus coming end of January, early February. We have the Course Super Quartz coming February 11th. We have the Evora is already out. The Evora Rhapsody, the new one. We have the new Franklin C45 coming out at the end of February or early March. We might have the Ripple again coming out. Who knows?
Yeah.
We did get the Ripple R1. Ripple got approved by USAP. I'll read that statement in a second, not from USAP, but from Rhombus. And then the 11.6 24 power paddles coming out February 7th. Did I miss anything? I think those are all the launches, but it's not just that we have these launches. It's like these paddles have been long awaited. These have been known about for a while, and people are hungry for them. Well, maybe not the J2K Plus and J2TI Plus. Those are kind of new on the radar, but the Carbon True Forms, the Ripple, the 11.6/24 powered paddles, people have been, and now the Franklin's got a lot of hype too. Like, people have been wanting these. Sure. Which one gets you the most excited? I mean, you've probably hit most of them, but which one's getting you the most excited?
I think as a customer, if I had to think from that point of view, I would go with the Ripple, because I started playing and I was like working with the Rhombus ever since Dong teased it. So it's like, as a consumer, someone that has not tried the beta and not had any experience with it, like, I would be the most excited for the Ripple to finally come out. That's the one that I would have been waiting the longest for.
Yeah, I mean, what, it's been like a year and a half since it's been like teased? Year, maybe 2 years? I think it's over two years. It's been so long. So basically, I'm not even going to read this whole statement, but the R1 got passed and it had a PB core value less than point. I guess they said less than 0.43, so maybe it's 0.42. Who knows what it is for sure? I don't think they listed it as 0.43. And we don't know when it's going to come out. They were selling more to their Connect members, so. Man, they've sold so many to their Connect members. It's just like, when are you going to sell it to the general public? That's really the question. But with this like official approval now, like, it was approved, but this is like official now that it passed the PB core test. They got back the numbers. I don't know if they want to share the exact number, but we're looking forward to that. My most anticipated, I would probably say the Ripple too, just like, so people can finally get it in their hands that have wanted it.
Yeah.
It's been the most asked about. A lot of Carbon True Foam people asking me too. And then some of the other stuff is kind of newer, so not as much people have been asking. But, yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming. very soon, and we're going to talk about pretty much everything. We'll start off with the Carbon True Foam here. I think what we can say about it, since that's like the most widely known thing, it's an all foam core, and we can't say much more about it until the launch, but it's coming. It's coming January 30th. Yeah. All foam core. All I'll say is I hope this, for the people that hit very hard and they're always breaking paddles, you can't core crush something that does, you know, well, you can't core crush polypropylene if it doesn't have polypropylene in the core, right? So I'm hopeful that those big hitters that always are breaking paddles, that this is going to be like something that won't break down. And how it performs, stay tuned January 30th. I think everyone and their brother and their mother and their sister are going to have a review on this. So you can just watch all that content because everyone's had this for a bit now. Pretty excited about those. And those are going to be $280.
Yeah.
So right. Start saving your pennies now for that one. And then next up, the 11624 Power Paddles coming February 7th. Do you know the price on this? I saw like, is it 140 after code or am I wrong? I couldn't find like
that's what I was thinking. Okay. I don't know if it's that or the altcoins, but I think it's in that price range after code.
I would imagine these, if I'm wrong on the 140, I would imagine they're going to be like in that 140 to 160 range. Yeah. So probably the best priced power paddle series. Pretty much like best performance per dollar for a power paddle, I'm thinking.
Okay, yeah, I'll say that. I think they're cheaper power paddles, but I think this is
a good one. I think a lot of the cheaper power paddles come in at like high swing weights, right? Like they're just kind of built heavier or lacking sweet spot. Like which one are you thinking about?
Picklin Electro Gen 3. Is
the okay, I haven't hit that one. Is there
that one doesn't always break in. That was my issue with that.
Oh, okay. So it's something that changes over time and it might not heat up.
Yeah, and like this is not supposed to. So
yeah, so I'm gonna do a little bit more testing. So I was hitting this with like the Spartus Olympus side by side today. I'm gonna do a little bit more of that tomorrow. Trying to just kind of, I think that this does have more power. This is definitely less maneuverable than the Olympus. That's kind of like my biggest takeaway for what I like the vapor. This is the hybrid shape. So I was just, you know, comparing it mainly to the Olympus, which I think is like going to be the biggest competitor in my mind for a power paddle, for the hybrid anyway. The wide body elongators, those have a little bit more competition, but
yeah, especially the wide body.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. It's going to be very popular, especially at that price. It's just performs really well. You have that like top end exponential power on those big swings. Pretty good pop. I had heard like, what is your experience with the pop? I heard people not kind of saying like, oh, it's like kind of soft. I think the pop level's pretty good. Doesn't seem like it's like a soft paddle by any means.
Yeah, because it does have that like stiffer feel to it. Mm-hmm. Like it's like stiff, but it's not unstable. Yeah. Like there's still like some dwell time with it. But I would actually put the power like at the bottom of like the power spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like I would say yes, above the Olympus, but below the Paddle Tech. That's where I would rank it.
Yeah,
I don't think it hits harder than a Paddle Tech. But definitely a great option because with the Gen 3s getting sunset and the PPEs, like this is like a good controllable power paddle. Oh, yeah. So I think these would be good.
Yeah, and like with the vapor, the stability is really insane. Like I'll just describe what was going on today. I was playing against someone who now has a 5.7 duper. Whether it's accurate or not, he did just win like a tournament of like 21 teams with a lot of 5.0 players, and he probably has some of the best drives in the area. And when I'm blocking the drives with this, it just like I feel no twist in my hand, and it just feels so smooth. Like I'm not feeling any vibration. It feels like the ball kind of sinks in a little bit, and it just goes off, and it goes off cleanly. Like I was able to direct where it was going pretty easily. So I think that was like a great test for the stability. And I think sometimes with the Olympus, it would have probably been a little bit unstable under those really, really heavy drives. And I don't, you know, like, I don't think a lot of people are playing against, like, that caliber of player and drives, so it's not, like, a huge issue, but it just kind of, like, highlighted, like, yeah, this is super stable, and it kind of makes sense. Like, this is a little bit wider than the Olympus at the top. And they did put some, carbon strips in here, something to weight it. So that explains, too, why, you know, like, you get that higher twist weight, and that kind of does, with more weight here, it makes, for me, like, it makes it a little bit less maneuverable. I think I was having trouble with my flicks in this paddle. That was the one area that, like, it wasn't connecting with me. I mean, with more time, I'm sure it's going to be fine. It was just, for me, like, the flicks on my Olympus were a lot better than with the Vapor Power. But overall, like, the stability and just all-around control and the power level is just probably, like, a little bit above the Olympus, but it kind of makes sense. It's a little bit higher swing weight, and, like, when I weight the Olympus, we'll have to see if
plus
I, like...
Plus a 16 millimeter, too.
Oh, there, yeah, that, too. So, like, you know, like, you have some differences, and you can get weight on the Olympus, and you probably could match it. But definitely going to be the shape itself is going to lend towards more stability. So, anything else you want to add on that power series?
Not on the powers, but because you were just speaking about the Vapor, I just started hitting the Vapor since I got the all courts.
Okay,
Did you get a chance to hit those?
I have not gotten a chance to hit the all courts or the jelly beans yet. I got those a couple days ago, but I just. Actually, do you know when those do those have a release date?
Knowledge.
I don't think they do. I think they're still. Actually, did they just get approved? I think they just got the all courts might have just got approved.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would check the 11624 Discord, but I think they're talking about Vietnamese food in there right now. So that's too much to scroll through.
It's a wild Discord. All right. Yeah. So you hit the Vapor all court. What was your experience with that?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm starting to like that Vapor shape more, especially going from like a J2K to a that Vapor shape. I like how that Vapor is a bit more heavy, like that higher balance point. Mm-hmm. So for me, two likes elongated paddles, I like that shape a lot better than something like a J2 shape. But the all courts, so I might be in the minority here, but I'm not a big fan of them. Because I like the Monarch all court a lot. I like the Hirachi X Control Plus. I think those are two great paddles. And then they just kind of redid the whole thing. I think they don't feel as stiff as the originals, but they don't have as much power, at least. I've only hit them for one day, but my initial experience, they have this feeling. So when you like drive with the ball, like the ball will come off the face fast, but then it just kind of floats in the air. Like the power just doesn't really travel with the ball. That was just like that one thing I noticed. Like I wouldn't consider them all court paddles. I might even say like they're more all court leaning control, but this is just my opinion after one day.
And yeah.
I've seen people have good experiences.
These aren't thermoformed either, right? They're like Gen 1.5.
Gen 1.5.
Okay. Yeah. Which I imagine has like maybe one of the different type of cores that hit a little harder. Is like, what was the plan? Maybe I don't know.
Say there were some like construction changes, but I don't think we should go into detail on that yet.
Okay, well, I'll have to put that in the rotation. I'll definitely hit it this week, so I'll have some thoughts next week on that. But yeah, that would be interesting if they're not as good or not as powerful as the old all court. Well, I guess they weren't even called all courts, all courts before, but if it's not as good as like the Monarch and the Hirachi X Plus, whatever before. For the power, that would be probably a downgrade in most people's eyes, I imagine. But we'll see.
Unless you didn't like the earlier ones and you like the feel of this one. But, you know, we'll see.
All right. I will take a look at that. At least so far, from my perspective, the power paddles seem amazing.
Yeah, I like the power paddles a lot better than the all courts.
Yeah, which I think will be the bigger sellers no matter what. I mean, like, that's just what people want. For the most people want, so... And I think it's very controllable power, which is the good thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So taking a break from paddles, since David mentioned not liking the J2K again, what I think we'll go into David's. This is a new segment. All the sponsors out there, your name could be here as a sponsor. Just letting you know. But David's hot take. What is it, David?
Yeah, I think the J2K is a pretty overrated paddle, and I personally think it only became famous because twist weight was such a popular metric. Or no, not a popular. It was a metric that started being tracked, and because everyone knew the twist weight measurement going in, they just assumed that this was a great paddle, and that's what made the paddle so popular.
So I agree that people put way too much stock into twist weight, and they just are all about like, oh, what's the twist weight number? What's the twist weight number? But a lot of these companies have, learned how to game the system with that twist weight.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would phrase it. Yeah,
they know how to game the system. They know how to make that twist weight higher, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the sweet spot is going to be big. That means they're just putting a ton of weight into the bottom sides here. So,
Yeah. So here's the TI Plus, which is the same shape.
Okay. But
what they've done is because it flares out so much here, and then it's like a bottom heavy paddle. That's how you're getting that twist weight number so high.
Yep.
When you do that, your sweet spot goes down. And what's funny was when the J2K came out, it was one of my most requested demos. I think it's like start of 2024. Everyone was asking, can I try out your J2K? I've heard so many good things about it. I think like you, like all the other guys were reviewing it.
Yep.
They saw it. But what's funny is none of my friends are paddle nerds. They don't know what twist weight is, and they don't care to know. And so they all hit it, and they all thought they had a terrible sweet spot. Because sweet spot's going to be relative to where you like to hit the ball.
That's true.
So they weren't hitting it here. They're hitting it here. And they're like, this paddle sucks. And then there are some people that are like, it's fine. But like for them who are just basing the paddle off their feel, if they're hitting an elongated paddle or if they're hitting something with a higher bounce point, like the double black diamond, it flares out at the top, pushes that bounce point up. They're hitting the ball there, not here. Mm. So for them, they're just like, why would I get this?
Yeah.
Even though it's stable down here, maybe for like resets. That said, like I think the J2K is a fantastic paddle. I think it's great for people that are picking up the sport and like don't have that accuracy of like a racket sport background, don't like to hit near the top and like maybe spray a bit more in the middle.
Yeah.
So for those people, like, yeah, this is a fine paddle, but I think the J2K is just, it's a paddle that looks really good on paper, that low swing weight, high twist weight, just like a good feel, but I don't think it's for everyone. And it's not like this is a paddle anyone can pick up and use. I am terrible with this paddle. And gotcha. When we get into the J2TI Plus, and because I was hitting this J2K Plus, C2, like I've been hitting those, and I'm just like, I'm so bad with this paddle. Like,
I guess,
don't know about this big sweet spot people say.
I guess you're saying it's not me, it's you.
It's oh, yeah, paddle. For sure. I mean, like, it's like I get used to it eventually, and then, but then at that point, I'm like, I can get used to this paddle, but I don't like to play with that area there that I'm hitting.
Well, let's just talk about the J2TI and J2K Plus then, since we're already on the subject. And this, and just in case you don't know, this is the same shape as the J2K, J2TI, their hybrid shape. And I don't know what the price is going to be on this. I think it's probably going to be like maybe slightly more expensive, if not the same price. So not anything crazy. And then kind of like, you know, like the foam enhanced core around the edge here. I think that's all the pattern that they have.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, yeah.
And so in the J2TI, so from what I understand, is meant to be not as hot as the J2K Plus. I have more time with the J2K Plus. I think you have more time with the J2TI Plus, right?
This thing is plays exactly like my J2TI. I mean, I've hit it for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Still hasn't broken in.
Okay.
But
nothing.
Yeah. Like I hit the K actually yesterday.
Okay.
That one felt pretty good. I think that one's starting to open up more. Like I'm starting to hear different pitch.
Okay.
But the TI, I don't know if this is going to break in, but this is very soft right now.
Okay. Do you think it's like the exact same as the J2TI? Like for you, like it feels about the same, or do you feel like it's the sweet spot's a little bit bigger because of that foam?
Tough to say. I'm not good with either of
them. I will say this is probably like one of the grit, like the surface, it's not like a normal grit. It just feels like rough. Does yours feel
it is very rough.
It feels very rough. And it's not like the normal, like, oh, it's going to stick to your shirt grit. It's just like, this is rough. I've been getting great spin with the J2K Plus and the J2TI. So for me, the J2TI seems like it's heated up a little bit. I was maybe doing like a little extra work to break it in, hitting it with some stuff because I wanted to see, what it's got. But the J2K Plus, I have the, where's the other one? Somewhere back there, I think it's above me, but and that I got an early unit too. It was the same as the production model, but just no markings on it. And that one has definitely heated up. It probably started heating up around like 4 or 5 hours in, and now the power level on that thing is past the Olympus, past the 11.624 power paddle. Wow. The pop is I wouldn't say it's at like the pop of like the ESQ 12.7, but it's not too far away. It's kind of stopped. I believe that it stopped heating up, and it hits it's very hard, and it has kind of like that Gen 3 like thunk sound to it. Not as like much as like a mod or a 3S, but especially when you get the full swings, it's got that big like thunk, and people are like, what is that? And same thing with the Power Series with the 11.624. People notice the sound. Like, it has that Gen 3 sound.
Yeah, the sound is,
So, and out of the box, the J2K Plus was already more powerful for me than the J2K. Yeah, it was already more powerful, already had more pop. So, it was like, it was already, and like the J2TI, like you're saying, it just kind of felt like the same as the J2TI Plus, but the J2K Plus already comes hotter than the J2K, and then it keeps going, and mine stopped, but we'll see how that works. I heard something about like they're gonna have like a refreshment plan in case it breaks, but it's that's probably not the thing you want to hear if you're buying a paddle. But I'm hoping like at the level it's at for me, it's a really fun power paddle. I'm just kind of worried like, is it going to stay that way? But we'll see. So far, if I could keep the J2K Plus with the same power level, same pop that it has now, I would love it. Mm-hmm. I'd love it. It's really good. So time will tell, I guess, if it stays that way. But so far, so good. And I do think that the sweet spot is bigger on these, and it feels a little bit better. It's like a little bit just like the feeling is maybe slightly softer with these. Just from that added foam. The J2K is still stiffer than the J2TI Plus. The J2TI Plus is, and the J2TI, nice and plush, soft feeling.
Interesting. I'll need to hit these next to like the TI, the K again, because I forget how those play. Like, I guess I've hit the C2 and the J2KC, and then I hit this one.
Okay. Yeah, hit it next to the J2K, and we'll get more takes on it next week. Anything else on those?
Not those, okay. But did you hit the other Honolulu paddles?
I have hit everything, I believe. I think I've hit all the new, not C4, J4, the J2KX, and the J3TI. I don't think I'm missing anything. And the C2, the C2, J2.
You said XK, right? Did you see that one?
Yes.
That longer handle.
The longer handle J2. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've played that. That one I'm not really a fan of. I think it made the J2K worse with the longer handle, smaller face. I'm not really into these longer handle, smaller face paddles. I don't need the room for my two-handed backhand. I like 5.25 inches on the handle is fine for me. I would say like my hands are probably bigger than the average size person. I'm 6'4", so I'd figure if I can fit two hands on a paddle, like 90% of people, 95% of people can fit two hands on the same paddle. So I don't really love the longer handle. But if you love the longer handle, it might be good. I just don't know if it carries all the same. It just doesn't carry all the same traits as the J2K. So for me,
yeah, I think made the whole thing worse, honestly.
Yeah.
They like took what made the J2K, the J2K, just threw it out the window. And like, what's funny is like, you would think someone like me would like it, because they just removed that bottom part. But that twist rate dropped down so low. Like mine went from like it was like 6.8 down to 6.12.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, all they did was remove the bottom. They didn't redistribute the weight anywhere else in the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the paddle's so unstable. And there are just so many other long handle, like, hybrid options. Like, you have the Saga long handle Mark 1X. And then it's just the one thing is you can whip it really quick because it's, like, faster. But then a paddle that does that better is going to be the Neonic Flow series. I think that's the same thing, but better weight distribution. So I don't think the that XK is really
going to
take off.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's cool that they tried a whole bunch of shapes, and I think that they'll just probably scrap that one eventually. You know, like, it might not get many sales, and they'll just scrap it, but we'll see.
Like the original J1.
They scrapped some things in the past. I mean, as all companies pretty much have done, like, you scrap your worst performers and try to improve on your best performers, which is why they have tried so many things with the J2 shape, and some of them have worked really well, and then I don't think this one's gonna be my jam or your jam. So we'll pivot away from, well, it's not really pivoting away from paddles, but take a break from listing all these paddles, and we will return to What the Pickle. I know, it's been gone. Why has it been gone? I don't even know. I don't really know. I just forgot about it. But What the Pickle is back. I'm going to try to do it every week. Love What the Pickle. My What the Pickle this week, I've got two for you. I've got two. Which one you want to start with? You want to start with the professional one? Or you want to start with the rules one?
Let's do professional.
All right, professional. What the Pickle Kwong Dong? What are you doing? You were just – I hope you're not just lighting money on fire, because let's backtrack to the story. Kwong Dong is playing in the Masters. He's a Selkirk-sponsored pro, and he switches paddles mid-match to a Proton paddle. And then next match, I think he picks back up the Selkirk. By the end of the week, he's just straight up playing with Proton paddle, and he doesn't even care. I don't know what you're doing, bro, but, like, and his dad's in the stands. I'm assuming, like, Proton's his next sponsor, because I think his Selkirk contract's about to be up. But I feel like it's just not the best move to be doing that mid-contract. I mean, maybe one company is like, you know, they already want to work with you, but people are going to look back at that and be like, dude, like, there's no loyalty, no trust. Like, that's just, I know the guy's a teenager, but you're a professional. You're going to be treated as an adult. It's not a great look. And it really doesn't make sense. Like, he lost anyway. Why not just go lose with your Selkirk and finish out your contract, which is almost done, and make yourself more money after that? I mean, I don't think you're, like, gaining anything by pulling that move unless Proton's paying you under the table, which maybe that maybe they're like, hey, this is our – I mean, because it makes a perfect ad for Proton, right? They're like, so good, even the Selkirk players are using it. So maybe it was worth it. So I've got that with the Pickle. What did you think about that situation? Yeah, like,
I feel like Proton's paying for the fees, because it reminds me of – I want to say it's Michael Jordan had something with his shoes, and Nike just paid the fine every time. So he could, you couldn't wear some color in your shoes.
I have no
idea.
And
they just intentionally, like, because he wanted it and they just wanted to make a statement, they're like, we'll let him wear whatever this shoe was, and we'll just pay the fine every game.
Okay.
That just reminds me of, I think Proton's just doing it to for publicity and make a statement. So I don't know if it's Kwong or his fault. I think it could be, it's either like him being immature, being like, oh, I'm just not playing well with this paddle, I need to switch, or it's just Proton told him to do it. So, but I can see Proton doing that though.
Yeah, if he made bank from it, I honestly don't blame him. But if you didn't secure the bag from this move, then it's very foolish.
That's dumb if they're not paying.
Yeah, if you didn't get the bag from doing this whole stunt, like, you should have got it, because it's probably too late now. So that's my With the Pickle in the professional world. And then the rules one, which probably isn't as much fun to talk about. It's the delisting and listing of the Chorus Fire paddles, specifically just the SX and EX. They're wide body and elongated. So over the weekend, maybe was it Friday?
Wait, I think it was Thursday. Thursday?
All right. We'll
when say, I got the list, it was like Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. I was in the office. I remember that.
Yeah, so anyway, last week at the time you're watching this, it got delisted. There's a bot in the Pickleball Studio Discord that basically like lists up when a paddle gets approved or delisted or whatever from USAP. And they showed that it was delisted. And then, of course, you know, USAP fashion, they don't actually give you any details when something gets delisted. I don't think they ever actually gave a statement like when the Vatic Oni was delisted. Did they ever give a statement on that?
I feel like Daryl, like, didn't he know?
I don't know. I know a lot of the information we've gotten has come from company owners and not necessarily USAP. But anyway, USAP delisted the paddle. You see that fire right there by David, you know, right on his table there. And then I think it was the next day or at least 2 days later, it went back up and it's approved. So, and you know, like, of course this causes a lot of stress on the company owner for Chorus Matt. Like he's like, what in the world? Like, am I gonna have to go refund all these people? And I think he did get some information, but you know, he's not sharing that at this time, which, you know, fine for him. Gotta do what's best for his company. But it just doesn't make sense from the outside perspective of one day you delist the paddle. 2 days later, you relist the paddle. Like, what's going on? What are you doing? Like, get your stuff together, USAP. Like, you worked so hard for this new system and you still can't figure things out? I don't know. I just want them to share information. I think that it would stop people from losing trust in you, because when you do stuff like that, it just makes you look like you're incompetent. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone, I think the counterpoint would be like, oh, like they just made a mistake and then they fixed it because they got new information. I'm like, well, just tell us that then. Just tell us. Everyone understands. We make mistakes, but just explain what you're doing. You know?
It seems like you can't make the mistake later. Like, you should have, you should.
Yeah. If it's approved, it's approved.
Yeah. You can't backtrack, because at this point, they've gone into production. They're selling things.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's legal grounds to, like, sue someone.
I don't see how it wouldn't be. I mean, you're costing people money.
And then, at this point, you already approved it. Like, why did you test it again? Like,
yeah.
Where was the grounds for that? But it was also, like, it was strange, because, like, it was, like, some 6-0 paddles were there, too, that also got delisted. And then they also got relisted, I think.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe they had, like, an error in their listing. And that was weird, because there's, like, the double black diamond, too, right? It was, like, old paddles.
Yeah, it was like that. And then, and funny was thing was, someone was asking, I think we talked about that AMA sport paddle, the NXT01. So that one just got approved last week, and then I just saw it got delisted along with Core. So
really?
I was about to respond to this dude that it got approved, but then I was like, oh, I guess it's delisted now.
That's funny. Yeah, what was the last? No, the last one wasn't the last one was the tier list, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Still haven't seen anyone tag us with their tier list. I did see some people that weren't happy with some of the companies, but like,
yeah.
Where's your tier list? Just asking.
Some people hate YOLO.
I know. I think either, I think it makes sense. Either you play with a YOLA and it's S tier, or you hate YOLA and it's D tier. That's probably like where most people fall. And then there's some people that actually understand a little bit of the nuances, and they're like, okay, we could have a conversation. I don't know. Since we're talking about Chorus, we'll move on to the Chorus Super Core tier, which I've really, really enjoyed. And those are coming out February 11th now. They got delayed a little bit just because I think some shipping.
Is it 11th or 17th? I forget.
Is it this? I thought it was the 11th.
Okay, I may have got the 7 from 11/6/24.
So okay.
Maybe it is 11.
I think it's the 11th. I'll double check. But yeah, which ones have you played with all of them? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, so I've been hitting the EX and the HX from Supercord a lot, and then also hit the Echoes, but HX Supercord I think is really good. I don't know, like, have you hit the EX for the Supercord yet?
Yes.
Is yours significantly stiffer compared to your other models, or is that just me?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's significantly stiffer. I mean, it's definitely a little bit stiffer. I kind of find, you know, just with those shapes, it just seems to be the, you know, general that they elongate. It's usually the stiffer one. But I wouldn't say significant. Like, I don't think I noticed a drastic difference there.
But yeah, my EX is like a cannon.
Oh, really?
It's R.
Okay.
I was actually talking to Matt earlier today. I was like, FYI, are these supposed to hit really hard? Because
yeah,
I noticed you put them in the all-court category, but I would put these in all-court leading power.
Like, okay.
These things have some juice to them.
Yeah, they're definitely super poppy. Like,
yeah,
and it doesn't take much. Like, they have the fiber layer. The fiberglass layer is the second layer. And
yeah, it's that CFC surface.
Yeah, it activates fast. It's nice. They're nice. And these are going to be 108 after discount. So these are going to be...
Oh, they're that low.
Yeah. They're going to be their second low. Well, after the Echo, they're going to be their cheapest paddle. And yeah, they're good. I think this is going to be a easy recommendation if you're looking, even if you're looking for a value paddle that's, I mean, just as well performing as a lot of others. These are awesome. And for how much pop, they don't, like, I'm mainly focusing on like the HX and the SX, which I spent the most time with. They don't feel stiff at all. Like, it feels, I mean, they're not like super soft, but like no problem if you're like, oh, I don't like stiff paddles, I don't like vibration. These feel very smooth.
Yeah, they feel really good.
Great.
I think they're like, their power is like slightly above like Monarch All Court and the Huarache Control Plus, because those are also CFC. But I think I think the fiberglass in here is like stiffer or like more powerful.
Yeah.
But it's feels like this has got some more juice on it. But right now, HX Supercoat is one of my favorite paddles right now.
What's the weight setup you have on there? Is that just like some tape? What's going on?
That's
there?
Just some colored tape. But okay. I have tungsten, just like 3 and 9, just like
okay.
underneath, and
okay.
then just put some like orange tape over to cover it up.
I don't know if I have mine. Oh, I do. So I put, I think it's 0.5 grams from like the throat. Oh, I think I got it. Put it from like here all the way up to here, so whatever that is. But these feel very maneuverable too, so I was like, man, I'm just gonna weight this thing up. I probably want to put more weight on it actually. It's all come in at, I think that was 113 swing weight for the HX.
Yeah,
and,
it's pretty low.
And then like 108 for the SX, so everything has a lot of, like, they play really well stock, which is great for people that want to mess with the weight. But if you like to mess with the weight, a lot of room to add weight, get a little bit more power. Already really stable paddles too. But yeah, these are excellent. Excellent, excellent. I have a video coming out probably Wednesday, kind of going through all the Chorus series. And the HX is my favorite from the Super Quartz by far. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, I think impressed. I would add some more tape here, but shout out to Pickleball Effect. I've been trying out his new tungsten strips that he came out with. So
yeah, those are pretty cool. We'll just talk about those right now too. They come in like 3 grams, so like I think that's kind of like the standard for the pre-cut strips. His packaging's pretty cool. I like the packaging.
Yeah.
And then non-branded on these strips, which I appreciate because, you know, like sometimes you just end up using a whole bunch of different stuff from different brands. And it looks kind of – doesn't look clean when there's stuff on there. And this just kind of blends in with most of the paddles. Yeah, I like these a lot. And then I think he has like some other thicknesses for like the strips coming – or the like the rolls coming out, like 0.5 gram, 1 gram, and 1.5 gram. So getting all the different stuff that you could want, and yeah, some good stuff there from Pickleball Effect. Check that stuff out. Let's see. My pen broke. Let's go on to the Franklin paddle, the C45, which is a new paddle that kind of like got a lot of buzz because pretty much all the Franklin pros switched to the paddle at the Masters. And I was able to sit down with Ryan from Franklin, who's been there like 13 years, and he's just getting more involved in the pickleball side right now. Like, he's been involved in the pickleball side, but he's getting more like front facing and talking to all the reviewers. He's their like the professional liaison to make sure all of them have the palace they want. And I was really excited about this because it's got the blue. It looks like a Detroit Lions paddle. Yeah. It's, you know,
set it's like a metallic-looking edge guard, but it's really nice.
I like the looks of this. Yeah. I really like the edge guard. This grip, too. I know you threw an overgrip on it. But this grip, this is one of the best, like, stock overgrips that I've had on a paddle. It feels really tacky, and I think it's going to last a while. It doesn't feel like a cheap one, so... I actually played the stock with the grip. I didn't get to play a ton with this. And this thing is 100 swing weight. This thing is super.
Oh, wait, really?
That's what the average is anyway. So mine measured at 100. I don't know if you threw any weight on yours yet.
No, I haven't hit it. I threw an overgrip on, but I haven't done any numbers.
And this is going to be late February, early March. And I do have a demonstration. Because I sitting down with Ryan from Franklin, he showed me some... how the paddle is made, and I wasn't able to use the demonstration to record anything, but I have my own visual demonstration. So this paddle is made out of I believe it's carbon fiber, fiberglass, and then the polypropylene, and then there's some foam. What they do is they take the polypropylene and the carbon fiber and fiberglass, and they make it into a sheet, and they thermal form the whole sheet, right? Pretend that's what this is.
Is that Play-Doh?
It's Play-Doh. It's my kid's Play-Doh. They take this sheet, and then they cut the paddle out, right? So there's like one sheet, and I think they cut out like four paddles out of that thermoform mold. So you've got everything in there. They thermoform it. Cut the paddle out, right? So if I take the paddle out of here, and you've got the paddle right out of the mold, and then they do... they use a CNC cutting machine. Basically, it's like a little, maybe like drill. Drills all the way along here. Cuts out a channel. Then they put the foam in there. I think there's two different foams. I forget what they are. They put the foam in there. And then they thermoform it again so that foam is sealed. Doesn't touch any of the polypropylene core. And that's kind of what gives it its power and pop at the low weight, and hopefully doesn't allow it to break down at all. And then if you've ever seen any pictures of like, say, like a mod or 3S, you can kind of see like the foam is or the cells from the polypropylene are already kind of starting to like crush and bend. And when I saw the pictures of this inside, it's just like the cells are all perfect. You have the foam, it's not touching the cells, and all the cells on the edge are not crushed. So I hope I explained it right there. That's the best I've got from my memory. But I'm pretty excited about this. I want to add some weight. And this is 14 millimeter, in case anyone's wondering that. So I'm hoping to play this with more weight, because it comes in at 7.6 to 7.8 ounces average. Mine was at 7.7. So super lightweight paddle.
Yeah, it is very light.
Very lightweight, which is great. I think that a lot of people are going to love that. And then I think I have a ball right here. It's a super quiet paddle. It's quiet approved, especially when you're hitting like.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I think so. I think, does it have it? Maybe I'm making that up.
UPA and USA.
Yeah, it does have the dual stamp for UPAA and USA. I swear it was a quiet paddle. Maybe I'm making that up. I'll have to check on that. I've got so much information in this brain. Sometimes it just can't all be coming out.
Yeah. I haven't hit them yet either. So I just bounced it on a few times.
Yeah. So
I like your demonstration.
Thank you.
Like, show me where the foam touched you on this paddle.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
So they sent this with the paddle, and I was like, I got to do something with this. So
yeah.
I figured that demonstration was perfect. Where else can you find that? Honestly, I don't know. Probably only here. Also, I don't think this is out yet. I looked on their website. I couldn't find it. They have the Franklin Sports Pro Ball. So they have a new Pro Ball coming.
I haven't tried that one yet.
So I've played it a little bit. I think it bounces higher than other balls. Plays pretty fast. I'm not going to do the standard. It plays somewhere between a Franklin and Dura, because you could probably say that about any ball. Definitely significantly faster than the X40. And from 3 hours of play, it didn't crack, so, and it didn't wobble. So I guess that's all I got for you. And I actually had people asking me, because I was doing kind of like a what do they call it? Like up and down the river. So basically, if you win, you move up. If you lose, you go down. So I was like, you know, I'm moving all around. I'm not winning every time. I'm winning. I'm losing. I'm winning. I'm losing. So I'm playing with a whole bunch of people. They're asking to use the ball. So, and usually, people are just very picky about balls. So if they're asking to use the ball, I take that as a good sign. For me, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll use whatever. But I know most people care a lot, and so like that said a lot to me that like people are actually asking to use the ball. So that just was like a sign for me, like, all right, people like it. So we'll see how it holds up. And that was in kind of colder weather. I would say it was like 60 degrees in the dome that I was playing in. I don't know why it was so cold, but so it didn't have any problems in the cold, so that was good. Not gonna go out and play. I think it was 20 degrees out today. I'm not going to go outside and play in that.
We had snow here, so I didn't even play indoors.
I've seen people like shoveling snow off courts to play. I'm like, y'all are crazy. Like, I get it.
Like, the court's going to break down. Like, you shouldn't be playing outdoors with the glue breaks down on the paddles, plus the ball's going to break down.
I would rather play in the gym than go play on the 20 degree court. It's insane. But yeah. So C45, look forward to that. Only launching in one shape and thickness, but later on, maybe like a month later or so, they'll have their wide bodies, their elongateds in 14 and 16. Next up, Avora Rhapsody 13. Interesting paddle, 15.5 inches. Interesting look too, right? Like, I don't think you're gonna see something that looks like this. Pretty. I didn't know this story. But Steve Dawson was, you know, the head designer of paddles over at Prokenex. He came over. I guess I don't know exactly what he's sick with, or he has cancer, but like this is like kind of like his prostate cancer. So it's like his last passion project, you know, like he wanted. So props to him. He's living out his dreams. And I think and then this paddle, there's only like one other company that uses like gel. And that's Players Pickleball, but they use gel to widen the sweet spot and get the twist weight up. And I mean, this thing's interesting. I don't think there's another paddle like this. It's super lightweight, low swing weight. I think this swing weight's around 100. I can't remember.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't test mine, so
I can't remember what it was. But this, I mean, just being 15.5 inches, it's going to be already going to be a low swing weight. Delivers some pretty good pop powers. Probably like it's going to need some weight. It's going to need some weight if you want more power. Sure. It's more of like a paddle that's just going to be like very consistent at the net and allow you to get your hands to where you need to be, but. Interesting paddle, and I don't believe it's thermoformed, right? I believe it's
it's a Gen 1.
Gen 1 and made in the USA.
Yes.
So yeah, it's actually on the PAL. Yeah, and so they made it in the USA because that's where they said they got the best polypropylene and they wanted to build it here. So a four paddle. What do you think about it so far? Have you played it a little bit?
Played one game, but you know what this paddle reminds me of? Is actually the Spartus Apollo because it has those vibrations in it. Mm-hmm. It like vibrates, and like same with the Apollo, like that's got a lot of vibrations when you hit with it.
Okay.
They're both just, you know, wide bodies, big sweet spot, very forgiving.
Yeah.
I would need to hit them both side by side, but in terms to compare like power and pop, but in terms of the feel, like the second I hit this, I was like, this reminds me a lot of the Apollo, at least the one I have.
I'll have to bring it out. I haven't hit the Apollo in a while, so I'll have to bring that out and see what's going on there. But yeah, I think it's a good one for someone that's looking to have a super lightweight. And then if you're someone that chokes up on the paddle, this is going to be a great one for you too, because
How does Callan hold it, like this or something?
Yeah, he holds it like that. So if you already choke up on your paddle, I think this is a 5.25 inch handle, which I could fit two hands for two-handed backhands on this, no problem. But if you choke up on the paddle, I think this is a pretty good one. Like, it has a big paddle face and big sweet spot. So, like, you're and you're not getting any benefit if you're choking up from any handle length. So this is this you just be swatting everything with this. But yeah. And there are I do know people that actually play like that. Maybe not with a finger, but like they choke up all the way. So I think for those people, maybe they're just like all former table tennis ping pong players. But
That's I want to see someone like hold it like this.
I did see that there was a new approved paddle that was like the Belkin Elite Bird, the Saw paddle.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that it looked like some like Chinese brand had a paddle approved. I couldn't find it. Like I went to see their website and I couldn't find anything. So I was like, oh, someone's bringing it back. I don't know
you have to check Temu or Alibaba to find it.
Probably. I don't know if Bird Sports is still making paddles, but we'll see. I guess we have some time. I don't know what I did with what I was. Oh yeah, and then I was going to talk about flick weights. So. These are little weights that go at the bottom of your paddle to balance, you know, help balance the weight in your paddle. And then they come in like 3, 6, 9, and 15 grams. And then I think they're around like $17. The price varies based on the weight. So these just stick
per weight.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. Or maybe there's maybe it's two weights for $17.
Still,
it's cheaper than the slice cap, but not as much cheaper as you would think. It sticks to the bottom of your paddle. I think that this is a lot easier to do than the slice cap because the slice cap can be a pain. And I think you could reuse these if you like, you just figure out whatever adhesive you're going to use and tear it off your paddle and get a new adhesive and put it on. So I think at least that would help because, I mean, I tried the slice cap and I liked it, but I was like, I didn't like it enough where I'm like, oh, I'm going to use the slice cap every time. Cause it's just, I mean, look, I got like 10, 12 paddles in the last week and a half. It's like, how am I going to like put a slice cap on each of these? And you know, it's just too expensive. Slice cap's like 20, 30. And then like, so I was like, oh, with these, maybe I need to figure out like what the adhesive I would use to like make sure. Cause I don't want these like flying around. These are like, I think this would hurt if it hit someone. That's the kind of
$17 on the ground.
Yeah, that and I don't want to like somehow. I guess if it fell off, I'm trying to think. If it fell off, it could fly. Like say a forehand, you finish and the thing just flies and hits someone. I understand why there's a rule that they don't want removable parts and like I don't know, but it's an option if you're out there in the rec streets and you're like whatever. And then we are checking out a new bag from Go Sports. I got the blue one. David has the black one. So they are a tennis company, but they are looking to move into pickleball. And we'll see. They might be designing a new pickleball bag. We'll see. But I didn't get a ton of time with this yet. But do you have the shoe compartment in there to demonstrate, David?
Oh, yeah. So I used this bag completely wrong the first time. So I thought this was where you held the paddles. And then when they said you can only hold two rackets because this is for tennis rackets, I was like, no way. I shoved six in here. It's fine. But then it turns out this is the shoe compartment. I was like, oh, that's what this thing is. So I don't know if you can see, like, I put that divider in the middle.
Yep. So you can put your shoes in one compartment, other stuff in the other. And then they have another compartment for the paddles in the back.
So it's actually in the back. It's this thing. I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's where you put the two. And then at the top, like, they've got this. They have another compartment for, like, keys and stuff in here. Well, I've got my tape in there. And then another compartment up here. So I haven't tried it out yet, but it's definitely, like, I mainly use, like, the Vatic Pro bag because I just want as much space as possible.
Yeah.
And I will say the quality is better on this. But, I mean, Vatic wasn't trying to make a good quality bag.
Yeah, this is definitely a you can feel the material quality is really, really good. This is $150, so you know you're paying for that quality. I think like the layout for this makes sense. So if you want like a backpack that is normal size, I know a lot of people don't like I'm usually using like the ADV bag. I'm bringing like 8 paddles a time. Cause sometimes I just can't make up my mind, or I'm bringing stuff for other people. But no one else is doing that. No one else is bringing that many paddles unless they're maybe like a dealer. So, I think generally most people want a backpack this size. From what I've seen, most people are using like normal size backpacks. I think this layout makes a lot of sense, especially if you want to bring your shoes. I think that's always like a problem. It's like some people like to wear their shoes. Some people don't. I mean, I do like to wear my shoes, but like in the winter, it's kind of not possible. Like you're just going to get snow and they're going to be all wet. So you can't really wear your shoes into the court here. So always glad to have that shoe compartment.
Yeah.
So we'll more on Go Sports after we test those bags, but we are introducing them as they are breaking into pickleball. And then anything else? Did you want to talk about anything else, David?
Did you try their new Ripple yet?
No. Yeah, I guess we should talk about the Ripple. So mine's coming Tuesday.
Okay.
I have the betas. I have the fixed edge guard versions, which were originally called the production units. And I'm not sure if those are the same as the ones that were just sent. So I guess we'll wait and see. They kind of got held up. There's like a winter storm going on, and they just never shipped, and they're finally coming.
Mine was a week late anyway, so.
Yeah. So we'll see on if those ones that were sent are the exact same ones as I reviewed. I have recorded my review twice now on the Ripples, and it looks like I'm probably doing a third one. So they better be sold. I've put a lot of time into playing with the Ripples. We'll see. But it sounds like
I bounced it off the paddle face. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah, I did.
The sound is completely different.
Yeah. Same for the beta to the production, the previous, I guess, beta 2. The sound was a lot different. So that's why I think that the ones that you have are like the same as the fixed edge guard.
Okay.
But we'll see. I'll get them in the mail Tuesday. Maybe I'll do the same thing you did and bounce them side by side with all three, and then we'll see the sound difference and see if we can learn if they're different or not. But
have you hit the fixed edge guard one, right?
Yes.
Did that one hit harder than your beta?
So it's hard to know for sure, like, because you know my betas were
hotter. Yours is broken.
Yeah. My betas were hotter, so like I think that they hit harder than when the betas came before they were broken in. It's hard to know for sure because I'm just going based off of like my memory. And I had recorded some numbers, but we know like, you know, numbers can always, you know, recording serve and pop numbers aren't always like 100% accurate.
Your biceps should be growing over time.
I probably got stronger by then. Who knows? So it's hard to know for sure. And I guess it doesn't matter because the betas aren't being sold anymore. But the production units I had previously never changed. So I'll be able to test the new ones I got sent on Tuesday versus the fixed edge guard versions. And we'll see if they're different. The fixed edge guard version I had was... those were the hardest hitting paddles that I own that are, I guess, legal, like, you know, not including like a Hush or something. So I thought it hit harder than the mod. So that's why I'm surprised it got approved. But maybe it's just the way I hit and the way I connect with the paddle that makes it hit harder. Maybe not everyone hits harder with it. I don't know. I really didn't think that these paddles were going to pass.
I didn't either. So, like, because we did get a PB Core number from a company that we're allowed to share, right?
Yes, we did get a PB Core number from a company. So, Groovin provided us with the PB Core number for their Laser HD, their hybrid Kevlar carbon fiber paddle. And they got a PB Core number of 0.41. So there's at least a reference point for us to say, hey, they got a 0.41, which it is a poppy paddle, but it's not on the levels of the Paddle Techs and the mod. And, well, obviously those are banned, but it's not on the level of the Ripple. So
yeah,
That's interesting to see. If we could get a few more reference points, that would kind of maybe help us connect the dots, especially if we got the data points for the band or the sunset paddles and the gearbox and the pro and the mod and the black aces. But yeah, 0.41 for the Groovin' Laser 16.
That doesn't make sense to me, because like if this or the production or even the beta was like under 0.43, so maybe this is like 0.4299999.
Yeah.
And the Groovin's 0.41, like that really doesn't make sense. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense, but it seems to be the way it is. So I don't know. Not really sure what to say about that one. It's very interesting. We'll see if they ever release details on how these tests are done and what's going on.
It's like it sounds like they're doing like a different person does a test each time. So it's like they're looking at the different reviewers' database. They're like, oh, this paddle got like a 1600 RPM, but then it's like a John Q's number for a different paddle that was like an 1800 RPM. But then like the average. Really
I saw some wild conspiracy theories. Like they're like, hey, we're only gonna ban paddles that people are complaining about, and they're like, yeah, mod. That's definitely up there. Gearbox, they're like, it's been out for a while, but people are still complaining about it. And then they're like, let's throw in one more that no one really plays with so that they think we're doing this scientifically. And then they throw in the Procatics Black Ace. I really wanted to make like a video, like joke video about how USAP is doing their testing, but I didn't know if I would get in trouble or if it would be funny, so I didn't make it. But there's definitely a skit out there for anyone that's interested in making a skit about how USAP does their testing, because I think you can make a funny one. Now, how many people would it be funny to? Probably only the paddle nerds. I don't know. Yeah. That's the problem. But yeah, it's wild. So I would assume the ripple at least has to be at 0.42. Maybe it's at 0.43, because it has to be below 0.43, right? But is it 0.43 and under, I believe? So it could be 0.42, 0.43. How many decimals do they go to? I don't know. No one knows. Probably the paddle companies don't even get that. They probably, you think they round up or they round down?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I don't know. I would round down. I do for swing weight.
Down? All right.
Yeah, and then round up. You round up for twist weight, you round down for swing weight. That's what the companies do.
I mean, that's marketing 101. You got to make your stuff look better.
6.41, that's 6.5. Yep. Oh, 118.2, that's 115 now.
I mean, the thing is, especially with that stuff, like the variance, like I guess you just pass it off. You're like, yeah, we could put a swing weight range, or let's just put the lowest of our swing weight range to make it look good.
And then say average.
Yeah, and then maybe you got an outlier. Like we get, you know, like we say 110, but you got 115. Be like, we have a small disclaimer. It says that there's variance at the bottom. Yeah. So, and then I guess we can talk about a little. We'll talk real quick. We'll talk more next time about some paddles that are not USAP approved or UPAA approved, but the Flick from Body Helix, the Flick series, is coming out sometime. Super gritty, of course. They are going for USAP approval, but they are going to make it regardless. And this has something called TerraCore. I don't know what the TerraCore is. I asked. I got this like long explanation about like what's going on with this stuff, and I was just like, I want to know what's in the core. I don't know what TerraCore means. I need to know what's in it, right? Anyway, these are their power paddles, by the way. I didn't get to hit them yet, but from everything I've heard, these things hit like really hard. So interested to see, and it kind of like, if no one's looking, you know, like maybe you just see the small writing and you're like, oh, that's USAP approved, because some of the paddles have the USAP approved in black. So we'll see.
The Franklin's in black.
Is it?
Yeah, you can't see the Franklin one.
Yeah, so like people don't really look at that stuff, but we'll check this out. I don't know. In the same thing with the Honolulu, if they don't get approval for J2K Plus and J2TI Plus, they're going to sell it anyway. So it's interesting that companies are now like, hey, we'll submit it for approval, but if it doesn't get approved, whatever, we're going to do it anyway. That will be interesting to see, especially we'll see how powerful this is. I've heard things. I haven't heard anything like compared to it, so I don't know the exact power level. But I imagine if they made a power paddle and they're kind of like pushing the limits, it'll be interesting to see. It might be, I don't know, we'll see. I'd imagine like we're going to have like a paddle as powerful as the Ripple or more, but maybe I'm just getting my hopes up. I don't know. Or maybe I'm thinking too high. We'll see next week. Any other non-approved paddles you wanted to mention?
Two, actually. So, another one. Oh, there's the Neonic Flow Titanium.
Yeah.
This is approved. This is pretty nice. I actually like this better than the Flow Prime X.
It's a great-looking paddle, too. It looks so good. Sure. It looks so good.
I know they're waiting on approval, so it's like you can only get this if you're an ambassador, but yeah. this is a really nice looking paddle.
And I think you can give the link out to people too, right? So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so if you want it, go ahead and message David, he'll get you a link.
Yeah. The other one is the Planker from Paddle Shop.
The Planker? It's called the Planker?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really called the Planker.
What do these people come up with their names?
Yeah, but this thing costs $70.
Oh,
it's a Gen 3.
Oh wow, what is the? Is that? That's not 18K, is it? What is the?
It's 12K.
It's 12. Oh, okay. So it's like mini cubes.
Yeah, but it hits like a mod. Like this thing hits hard.
Oh damn!
And it's I pulled it out. Yeah, it's funny. Is like they advertise it as this is a paddle for girls, so we made it pink, and then it's for girls because I think. They wanted to give the girls more power.
Okay.
I think that was their reasoning. But yeah, I brought this out. Everyone's like, this thing hits exactly like a mod. This thing hits really hard. It's super poppy. And yeah, but when I told them the price, they're like, I'd easily snatch one up. And I just said, hold on. Let me check if this is even approved because the email I got was a little bit sketchy. But it's not approved. And I asked if they were going to go for approval. They were like, I think the response was like, I don't know. Should we? And I was like,
It has a stamp on it, right? It looks like.
Oh yeah.
The plank. It looks like, I guess just the pink on it makes it look like I guess subliminally you're like, oh, it's not gonna hit that hard, but it's a Gen 3 for $70, and I don't think no other paddle uses that facing, right? I don't think I've seen that before.
12K. Yeah, that's actually a good question because. I've heard 18, I've heard 3K. There probably is a 12K, we just haven't hit it. But.
Yeah, I haven't seen it because it looks unique on the face.
Yeah. I actually, hit it for half of the game and I put it down because it was too hot.
I kind of like the looks of the paddle, to be honest. And you match the grip too, which is good. You match the edge guard with the grip.
Yeah.
Interesting. Where can people buy this? Is it on their site or Amazon?
Yeah, they do have a site. Okay. I actually have a discount code from it, so I think it drops down to like $60.
Jeez, it's crazy. Go get your $60 mod, and I think it's fine for people that can't generate the power to use stuff like this, like they're in rec play or whatever. I'm fine with it. Like, go ahead and use it if you can't generate the power. It's like people that are in the guys that are in their like 20s and 30s. Come on, you guys don't need to use it, but.
Yeah.
David, stop body bagging grandma and grandpa over there with the.
Yeah, I put it down after half a game.
Yeah,
one drive back with it too close.
So it was like, it was already hot, no break in. It's like, it's already banging.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very first ball I hit, that thing just went flying. I didn't even warm up with it.
Interesting. Planker. Well, we'll see. We'll see how they do. It sounds like it might not get approved if they did go for approval.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
They probably won't. They'll learn the price of what approval costs, and they're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but actually that same day, there was like another company that came to the facility I was in, and then I asked if his paddles were going to be approved, and the response I got was, I mean, I could, but I don't know if it's worth it. But then, like, it was like a Gen 3 clone, and this thing was also really hot. And I was like, I don't know what you mean meant by you could. And I was like, there's a potential that this could fail, given how hot this thing is.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, with the increased prices for the USAP testing, I think you'll see more and more people. I guess, you know, like how we've had so many companies come up over the couple of years. If you want to come up now, starting off as a brand without approval probably makes sense just financially. You're like, it costs too much. I don't even have proof of concept yet. But if you get proof of concept and people are playing it, they really like it. And it, I mean, so many people don't play tournaments anyway. They'll just play. I mean, what's stopping them from playing with it?
I don't even play tournaments. I have my USA membership or USAP membership thing expired last month.
Dude, no, like hardly any tournaments even use the USAP sanction anymore. Like, there's probably like 10 tournaments, 12 tournaments around me this month, and not a single one uses USAP sanctioning. I don't even know what the rules are because, you know, for sure they're letting the mod, or not the mod, obviously they're letting the mods in, but they're letting the Gen 3, the Yola Gen 3 S's in. Gen 3, yeah. So I don't know if they list the rules as they follow UPAA and USAP paddle guidelines or what exactly the rules are. But I think most of these tournaments, they don't even check the paddles anymore. They're just like, play, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure, obviously, if you're playing like APP, PPA stuff, it's different. But for most like local tournaments, which like that's what most of the people, like hardly any of us are going to go play pro qualifiers. So it doesn't really matter, I guess. I mean, I think people should use the approved paddles. But if you are, you know, someone that just lacks power, I think it's probably fine to use something like that. I don't think you're going to do damage to someone. I mean, obviously with any paddle you could if you hit them in the eye, but I wouldn't be worried about playing someone with a knockoff mod. But I guess it depends. Maybe these paddles could get so hot that it's gonna be scary, but we'll see. I don't know how hot you could make them. Anything else? I think we talked about all the paddle stuff this week. Got a lot of, obviously, the next couple weeks here, there's going to be a ton of reviews going on, tons of stuff happening, and yeah, it's going to be a fun one, I think. And also, one thing to note is the Chinese factories will shut down for a month here soon. Yeah. So if you want a paddle that's coming out this late January, early February, I would go buy it. Because if they sell out, it will be a month wait to get those restocked, which happened last year with the Spartus Apollo. And I think maybe some other ones, but that was probably the big one. It sold out, factory shut down, people had to wait. So go get your True Foams, your Ripples if they sell them, your Power Paddles from 11624, your Franklins, your Super Quartz. Buy them right away if you are going to get one.
Don't wait.
That's all we have today. Any questions? We're always in the comments.
I got two things for people. One is let me know how the new microphone is working out.
Okay.
I just have the new DJI mic. So that's number one. Number two, going back to the J2K thing, what I'd like to know is, so the reason I bring this up is because I was seeing in the Discord, people were saying the top five paddles they see and like in the course around them. And I saw the J2K a lot. But I'd like to know if you're in that Northern Virginia area, do you actually use the J2K? Because for the past year, the only one I've seen is my own. I've never seen someone else's. Like, I've been to a bunch of different facilities. Maybe it's like the people I play with, but I've played with, you know, several different groups. I've never seen one in the wild. So I'd like to know in the comments if you do use one, then you're in that Northern Virginia area.
I have seen a good amount of J2Ks in my area. So I like to think that as a local paddle reviewer, I've just inspired a lot of people to use the J2E. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I've seen
it like in my bag at like all times because people ask about it and then they just put it back.
That's funny.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a commander's that's an interesting stop. That's it. That's an interesting question though. Like, what are the top five paddles you see in each region? Because some of them are definitely. You know, each region can vary. Obviously, you probably see Selkirk and Yola on everybody's regional
list.
That's
like the top one, yeah. I think.
But it'd be interesting to see the different pockets. Like, oh, what do you guys have? What do you have? Like, even here, I forget what the name is, but there's someone that does, like, a local brand. And I actually see them quite a bit because they just, you know, like, people like the owners and they're selling stuff. So, like, I haven't tried it, but, they, you know, like, so you see some of those. But, like, would you probably wouldn't see those anywhere else, but in Southeast Michigan. So yeah, that would be an interesting one. I'm trying to think the best way. If anyone has any ideas, or just put it in the comments in what area you're in. Yeah, put it in the comments what area you're in and what the top five paddles you see, or what top five brands, whatever you want to do. That'd be interesting to know.
I'll comment too.
Yeah, I'll drop my comment. I got to think about it for a second now, though. I'm planning to get. I'll have to think about that one. Anything else?
No, those are the last two things for me.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. You guys stay warm out there. I know that cold super chill is coming out through a lot of the U.S. here, so stay warm. See ya.